Now we continue with the fifth chapter of Hilchos Deos, the Laws of Character. In the standard Rambams, this will be on page Yudalid Amid Beis, page 14.
Halacha Aleph.
Shem shachacham nikur b'chachmaso b'deyosav v'hu muvdo behem mishar ha'am. Just as we can tell a wise person by his wisdom, by his character, and with this he is separated from the regular people who are not as wise as he. Kachzach shi'nikur b'maisav. He also has to be recognized in his actions. B'macholo, and how he eats. B'mashkeo, how he drinks. U'b'ilaso, and how he has marital relations. U'b'siyas tzrachav, and how he relieves himself when he goes to the bathroom. Ubidiburo, and when he speaks. Ubiilucho, and when he walks. Ubamambusho, and how he's dressed. Ubachilkul dvaro, and just how he presents his words. Ubamasao bamatano, and in his business affairs. The yukala maisamuelu naimum sukana biyesa. All of these things should be beautiful and particularly good. Ketat haso. Tamachacham lo yi gargaran. A scholar should not be a glutton. Alaocha machla roi lahavros gufo. He should eat the food that is fit for his body's health. Vliyoch memen achilagasa. Even of the good quality food, he shouldn't overeat. Vloye rodif amalas bitno. He shouldn't run around to stuff his belly. Kelu shemismalim memaychol mishta achatipach kresam. Like those people who fill themselves up with eating and drink till their stomachs bulge. Balei mefurish v'kabbalah, concerning them, it says in the prophets, Zerezi peres al panechem, I will throw dung upon your faces. Amru chachamim, the sages say, Elo b'nei adam shalchon v'shalsim v'osan kol yimeim kachagim. These are the people who eat and drink and spend all of their days as if they're holidays. V'mamrim, and they say, Achol v'shasa ki machon namus, eat and drink for tomorrow we will die. So all they care about is enjoying food. Zemachal Rasham, that's how wicked people eat. Shulchanas Elohim Shigino, because of these tables of gluttons are criticized in the Tanakh. Yaman it says, Ki kol shulchanas maluki tzara bli makom. The tables are filled with vomit and excrement without place. Avlachacham ein ochel al tav shel echad or shnayim. A wise man doesn't have many courses, he has one or two courses. V'yochel memenu kdei chayav, and he eats according to what he needs to live. V'dayim, that's enough for him. Usham Shlomo, this is what Shlomo Melech says, Tzadik ochel l'sov v'nafsho. A tzadik eats to satisfy his soul. Halacha Beis. Kishachacham ochel miyat zeh haroi lo. When the sage eats this little bit that's fit for him, lo yochlenu ala bebeisa al shulchano. He should eat it only in his own house, on his own table. Lo yochel b'chanus, he shouldn't eat in the store, lo b'shuk, nor in the marketplace. Elam b'nei tzav god, unless it's very necessary. So he shouldn't be found wanting in the eyes of the people. It's more modest and nicer for him to eat in his own house. He shouldn't eat together with ignorant people. Not on those tables that are filled with vomit and excrement that the Rambam referred to before. He shouldn't eat together with people who are just stuffing themselves and just eating in a gluttonous way. He shouldn't have meals in many places, even with sages. He should generally eat at home and not go having meals in all sorts of other places. He shouldn't eat in meals that have large gatherings of people. It's fitting for him not to eat in these big meals unless it's a meal of a mitzvah. Like the meal of a betrothal or a marriage. When is it considered a mitzvah meal, a marriage, or a betrothal? If it's the wise person, a sage, marrying the daughter of a sage. The early tzaddikim and pious people did not eat of a party, of a meal that wasn't theirs. They preferred just to eat modestly and quietly at home. We talked before about eating, now about drinking. When a wise man drinks wine, he should only drink in order to lubricate the food that's inside of him. Whoever gets drunk is sinning and is despicable and is losing his wisdom. If, moreover, he gets drunk in the presence of ignorant people, then he desecrates the name of God. That's even worse. You're not supposed to drink wine just in the middle of the day, even a little bit. Unless you're doing it together with eating. Drinking that's done together with eating doesn't make you drunk. Therefore, you have to be careful only about wine that's drunk after the meal. During the meal, it's normal to drink wine with the meal, and it doesn't intoxicate you. It's afterwards that you have to be very careful. Halacha Dalet. We discussed eating and drinking. Now the Rambam goes on to marital relations. Afa bisha ishto shalada muteres lo talmid, even though a person's wife is permitted all of the time. Raila la talmid chacham shiyinagatsu v'kedushav lo yehi matzei etzal ishto ketarnagol. A sage should have an extra degree of holiness in his relationship. He shouldn't be found. He shouldn't be by his wife like a rooster. Ela melele Shabbos lele Shabbos miyesh v'koach. But on the night of Shabbos, on Friday night, every Friday night, if he has the strength. When he speaks with her before the marital relationship, he shouldn't do this in the beginning of the night when he's full and his belly is, when he's satisfied and his belly is full, nor in the end of the night when he's hungry, but in the middle of the night, when the food inside of him is digested. So that's the proper time for the relationship, for health reasons also. He shouldn't be too lightheaded then. He shouldn't speak language that is unfitting. Even just between himself and his wife, he has to maintain a modest kind of language. It says in the Pasuk, Magid Lada Masechal, they relate to a man what his speech is. The sages said, even a light speech between a husband and his wife, he will be brought to judgment for it. Because a sage has to maintain a high degree of integrity and holiness, even in the speech that he makes, the discussion or the talk that he has with his wife during and before the marital relationship. They shouldn't both be intoxicated or in a depressed, lazy or depressed kind of mood. Neither should one of them be so. Vlotia Yishena, and she, his wife, should not be sleeping. Vloyanis Osav Hiena Rotsa, he shouldn't force her if she doesn't want. Elabratan Shneim Ubisimchasim, only with both of their desire and with their joy. Yisafar v'yisrak miyat ima, he should first talk and play a little with her, kadesha tisyashiv nafsha, that she should feel good. V'yivul v'busha, he should have the relationship with modesty, lobazus, not with brazenness. V'yifush miyat, and he should separate himself afterwards immediately. Halacha hei, kol ha-noig min egzel odailo shekidush nafsha, v'tir atzmo, v'tikin de'yelso. Whoever follows this practice described concerning the marital relationships, not only has he sanctified himself and purified himself and fixed his character, if he has children, they will be beautiful and modest, worthy of wisdom and of piety. Whoever follows the practices of the rest of the people who walk in darkness concerning this matter, he'll have children just like those people. Next, the Rambam mentioned before in his list of things the modesty that the sage has to have when he relieves himself of his physical needs. He discusses this in Halacha Vav. Sages are very modest with themselves. They never do anything disgraceful or uncover their heads or their bodies. Even when he goes to the bathroom, he'll be modest. He shouldn't uncover his clothing until he sits down. He shouldn't wipe himself with his right hand, which is the hand you wrap the tefillin with. He should keep away from anyone. No one should see him. He should go a room within a room, a place within a place. That's, in other words, a modest, concealed place. Or a cave within a cave. And relieve himself. If he relieves himself after behind a fence, Yisrachek, you should distance himself. So that if he makes any noise, then his friend should not hear the noise. Nifna bebika, if he's relieving himself in a valley, he should distance himself so that his friend should not see him and covering himself. He shouldn't speak when he's relieving himself, even if there is a big reason for it. Just as you have to maintain modesty in the daytime in a bathroom, so this applies by night as well. A person should try to get himself into the habit and train himself to relieve himself only in the morning and in the night so that he shouldn't have to distance himself. This is before the modern bathrooms, and you'd have to go out in a more or less public kind of situation, and you'd have to, with great difficulty, be able to find a place where nobody would be there, and you could do it with adequate modesty. And this would be easier in the morning or at night. The next thing the Rambam mentioned in the beginning of the chapter was the way the sage speaks. It continues here, Halacha Zayin. A sage shouldn't be screaming when he talks, like an animal or a wild beast. He shouldn't lift up his voice very much. He should speak gently with all of the creatures, with every person. When he speaks quietly, he shouldn't do this to an extreme, that he should look like an arrogant person who's sort of whispering or whatever. You can't be extreme either, because that would look arrogant. He should be first in greeting every person so that they should feel good about him. He should judge every person for the side of merit. Assume that a person is meritorious. He should relate good things, positive things about his colleagues, and not bad things at all. Or if shalom v'rod of shalom, he should love peace and pursue peace. If he sees that his words are useful and are listened to, omer he speaks. If not, he's quiet. Ketad, an example of when he shouldn't speak. You shouldn't attempt to appease your friend in the time of his anger, because that's not going to help. You wait till he's not angry. Do not try to annul his vow just when he made the vow. Until he cools off a little bit and rests, and then he may be willing to look for ways to annul the vow. You shouldn't attempt to comfort your friend when his dead relative is still before him. He's very excited until the burial. And similarly, all cases like these. He shouldn't show himself to his friend when his friend is doing something bad, which will embarrass him. He should hide his eyes from him. In the proper time, in the proper circumstance, he'll confront his friend with it. But to humiliate him by catching him in the act, he shouldn't do. He shouldn't change his words. He should be consistent in what he says. He should never add things or subtract things from the truth, except when it comes to making peace, when you are allowed to change a little bit for the sake of preserving peace. And similar things. The rule of this matter concerning the speech of a sage. He only speaks words of wisdom. Concerning acts of kindness, and similar things. You shouldn't have a converse with a woman in the public marketplace, even if the woman is his own wife or his sister or his daughter, because it's not modest and it doesn't look right. Halacha Ches. Now, back in the first halacha, the Rambam talked about the way a Talmud Chacham should walk, and he discusses the details now. A sage shouldn't go standing very rigidly straight with his throat thrust out. Kinyan Shinemar, as it says, they walked with their throats sticking out, or their necks, I should say, sticking out, and with their eyes dyed. And so that's considered an arrogant way of walking. He shouldn't walk with very small steps, putting his heel next to his thumb, or the toe of the foot, in other words, tiny steps, As women walk or as arrogant men walk. They walk with these little mincing steps. So that's not the proper way for a Talmud Chacham to walk. He shouldn't run down the street like crazy people. He shouldn't bend down his figure like hunchback. He looks slightly downward, as if when he's praying. He should walk in the marketplace like a person who's concerned with his affairs, in a thoughtful sort of way, in other words. Also from the way a person walks, you can see if he's wise and knowledgeable, or if he's stupid and a fool. Shlomo Melech said with his wisdom, that also on the way, when a fool walks, his heart, which is lacking, is proclaiming to everyone, he is a fool. The Rambam explains, he lets everyone know that he is a fool. Back in the first paragraph, the Rambam said that a Talmud Chacham has to be recognized by his clothing. Now he continues, Halacha Tes, Malbush Talmud Chacham, Malbush Na V'Naki. The clothing of a sage should be nice and clean. He's not allowed to have a stain on his clothing, or shamnunis, or fat, and similar things. He must have clean clothing. He shouldn't wear neither rich, kingly clothing made out of gold or purple wool that everyone looks at, nor the clothes of the poor that disgrace those that wear it. Unless you're really that poor and you have no alternative, but he shouldn't go wearing very inferior clothes. But he wears medium, nice clothing. He shouldn't have his skin visible from under his clothing. Like a fine linen that's made in Egypt that's you can see through. You shouldn't wear that. His clothing shouldn't be dragging on the ground. Like the clothing of arrogant people. The robe should extend only till his heel. And his sleeve till the tips of his fingers. Not longer. He shouldn't lower his talus, his garment. It appears like arrogance. If on Shabbos he has no other garment but the one, so he makes it longer in honor of Shabbos. You shouldn't wear shoes that are patched, a patch upon a patch. It's really not nice looking. In the summertime. If it's in the winter time, it's permitted. In Hayani, if he was poor. In the winter time, your shoes get muddy and dirty anyway, and people don't notice whether they're patched or not, since everyone's shoes are dirty. Talmud Chacham shouldn't go out with perfume when he goes out to the market, nor should there be perfume in his clothing, and nor should it be in his hair. If he uses a bit of perfume on his skin to remove the bad smell, like a deodorant, it's permitted. Similarly, you shouldn't go out alone at night. Unless he had a set time to go out for his learning. All of these things with Nechshad, people may suspect him. Men who go out with perfume, it's maybe a sign of homosexuality. Going out at night somewhere, people may suspect him of some wrongdoing. Halacha Yud, Talmud Chacham achalka dvar v'mishpat. Talmud Chacham weighs all of the things that he does carefully. Ocho v'shosa v'zan es anshe besuk v'mimon v'atzachaso. He gives food and drink and sustenance to his family according to his means, according to his success. He doesn't bother himself more than is necessary to give them luxuries that he can ill afford. The sage is commanded concerning the laws of proper conduct of Derech Eretz that a person should eat meat only if he has a strong desire for it, not as a regular habit.
Shenemar, it says, Ki savanam shecholecho basar, if your soul desires to eat meat. Da'ila ba'ilecho basar merv Shabbos arv Shabbos. It's enough for a healthy person to eat meat once a week. V'ayashik ve'ilecho basar b'chol yom, ochel, if he was rich enough to afford meat every day, he may eat. Tzivu chachamim v'yamru, in other words, the Rambam is saying that for health, you don't need it more than once a week, and therefore you shouldn't go out of your way to afford it if it's beyond your means. If you can afford it, fine. Tzivu chachamim, the sages commanded, v'yamru, lalam yachol adam pachsman arayi lo, l'fi mamono. A person should eat less than what his wages can afford, because he can do with less. V'yobish karayi lo, but clothing he should wear according to his means. But he should honor his children and his wife more than according to his means. Halacha Yud Aleph. Derech Maladei Yashik V'la Odom Malacham Farneses Also Tchila. The way of an intelligent person is to first find a profession or a craft, a skill that can sustain him, that can sustain the person. V'akach Yitne Beis Dira. Then he buys a house. Then he marries a woman. It says, who is the man who has bought a vineyard and not desanctified it? Who is the man who has built a new house and not started using it yet? Who is a man who has betrothed a woman and not married her yet? So, first you have to take care of yourself before getting married. Make sure that you have a means of earning a living and so on. Avla tibshin maskila lisa isha, foolish people first get married, v'achakachem timtze yodah yikna bayis, then if he can afford it, he buys a house, v'achakach v'sof yomav, then at the end of his days, yachsel v'akashumnes, he starts looking around for a trade. Oh, yispanis min atzadaka, or he has to get money from charity. V'chenu amr b'chlolos, so it says when it talks about the curses, about the bad things that can befall a person. Isha se'areish, you will betroth a woman, buy a tivneh and build a house, kam tita and plant a vineyard. Kloma. This means you masecha hafuchim. The order of the things that you do will be just the opposite of the way they should be. Kedesh lo tatzliach esrochecha, because you will not be successful in your ways. When we want to describe a non-successful situation, first we say marriage, then a house, and then a profession. Bracha ha'omer, in the blessing it says, he David b'chol droch of maskel. David was in all his ways understanding, Hashemimo, and Hashem was with him. In other words, he followed the right order, the right path in doing the things as he should do them. Halacha Yud Beis, V'asalo la'adam ma'apkar la'hagdish kol nechasav v'yatriach al'abriyas. A person is not supposed to give away or give to the temple all of his property and become a burden upon the community. Li'im kasadav yikna bayis, v'labayis v'yikna metaltlin, o'yas eschar abit me beso. You should not sell a field in order to buy a house. You should hold on to the field. Nor should you sell a house in order to buy movable property or to do business with the money from your house. You should hold on to your house. The opposite. You should sell movable objects in order to buy a field. The rule is, he should make it his aim to be successful in his property, but, and to exchange the temporary things for the long-term things, like the movable property for real estate. He shouldn't have in mind to just make a little bit of profit temporarily, or to have a little bit of pleasure, but lose in the long run. He should think in the long-term advantage, the Rambam says. Halacha Yud Gimel. Maso matano shel talmid chacham be'emes be'emuna. The business dealings of a sage is with truth and trustworthiness. Omer alav lav al hein hein. When he says no, it means no. When he says yes, it means yes. Medakek alatzo b'cheshvan. He's very careful upon himself in reckoning. V'no sinu mevatel acherim kishikach mehem v'lo yidakek aleihem. On himself, he's very strict, but when he takes from someone else, he's not so particular. He forgives if they don't give him quite as much as they should, or don't pay him quite as much as they should. He's not that particular with them. But he pays for his purchases immediately. If he doesn't become a guarantor, that's somebody who accepts the debt of someone else, and he'll pay it. Leova Bar Shah, this is someone who sort of takes the power of attorney to handle the monetary problems of another person. He wants to keep away from embroilments and entanglements and arguments over monetary things. He doesn't commit himself to questions of buying and selling where he's not obligated to do so by Torah law, in order that he should stand by his word and not change it. In other words, he doesn't accept obligations when he doesn't have to, because if he accepted it and he finds it difficult to keep, he might find himself in a position that he's not keeping his word. So to avoid that, he doesn't make commitments that he doesn't have to make. If others are obligated in judgment, they owe him money, he lets a lot of time go by, he doesn't press them, he even forgives them, and he lends, and he's gracious and kind. He doesn't take away the livelihood of his fellow. He doesn't try to compete unfairly. In his lifetime, he never causes anguish to another person. The rule is, he should be of those pursued rather than a pursuer. In other words, he should not be aggressive against other people, even though others are aggressive against him, and he doesn't react in an aggressive fashion. He should be those who accept embarrassment from others, harsh words, and he doesn't get angry or anything, rather than those that mete out harsh words and embarrassing words. A person who does all of these things, and similar things, going on all of the things that we say in this chapter, all of a cause of Omer concerning him, the Torah says, Vayomali, Hashem said to me, Avdi Ata, you are my servant. Israel, in you I boast. God says he boasts about such a fine and upstanding kind of person.